I encourage you to take a look at those portions of Scripture again. When we first found out about the coronavirus, the Lord directed our chapel into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, to find encouragement in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I've been thinking a little bit about where we find comfort, one of the topics that the Lord has us to consider is the fact that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And we are to find great comfort in that fact. And I'm going to ask you now to turn, if you would please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we are going to be reading this tremendous portion of God's Word. It is interesting, if you are new to Christ and new to a believer, you would have thought the Bible would have just been all about things to help us get going throughout the rest of our day and living Christian lives. And yet, there is this thing that the Lord wants believers to also be aware of, that one day this world is going to end and Jesus is going to come again. And because Jesus is going to come again, we can hope and we have a future. I want you to notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 how our Lord begins to introduce this topic to us. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning, verse 13, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this I say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need that I write to you. For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the dark. You're not in darkness. That day is not going to overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet, the hope of salvation. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. Keep your finger in this portion here and turn, would you please, to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, another story about Jesus coming and those who fell asleep. John chapter 11 and beginning at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with the fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. In other words, they sent to Jesus and said, Jesus, come. We need you to come. You're not here and we need you to come. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed. He didn't come. He stayed for 2 more days in the place where he was. And after this, he said to his disciples, "It's time for me to come. Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "There are not 12 hours in the day. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said. After that, he said unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "The ignorance of those who are asleep." The disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about him taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." The sorrow, as if we have no hope. Verse 16, Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, that we may die with him." When Jesus came, he found that he had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem about 2 miles, 2 days, 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had joined the women round Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said, "Lord, why didn't you come? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believeth in me shall never die." Do you really believe this? "Yes, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God who has come into this world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come." The teacher has come secretly calling for you. See that word secretly in verse 28. The teacher has come. As soon as she heard, she arose quickly, came to her. Now Jesus had not yet come to the town, but was in the same place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews that were with her in the house and comforting her? Really? When they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep." When Mary came where Jesus was, she fell down on her feet and said, "Why didn't you come? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. With that reading there, I'm wondering if we could turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 again. And I want you to notice some of the encouragement that's found in this passage here. This morning we want to speak about the coming of the Lord, part 1, those who are asleep. In the future, I'd like to take a look at 2 Thessalonians, which I have a feeling my brother might be in next week. Praise the Lord for that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We want to take a look at Matthew chapter 24. And specifically in the book of the Revelation, all the texts concerning he who is to come. As we seek to try to understand what it means that Jesus is coming again. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the answer is, these are answers to comfort God's people. There is a great ignorance about those who are asleep that has captured the human soul, that has caused a sorrow to grip the person who's dealing with this, a great, great hopelessness. What has happened? Think about our sister Mickey. What happened? How quickly life goes. What is next? And where were you, Lord? How do I get through this? We see this ignorance and this sorrow in the story of Lazarus. Lord, if you had just been here, my brother would not have died. Why didn't you come? What's going on? In the story, we do not know where the Lord was. Lazarus had died in Bethany. And the Lord doesn't tell us where he was with his disciples. I would guess he probably was in Nazareth. But it doesn't say. It simply says that he was 2 days' journey away from Bethany. The number 2 comes up twice in that story. When he comes to Bethany, we are told that he is 2 miles from the city. Peter, in his epistle, will tell us that a day for the Lord is as 1,000 years. He was 2 days away from Bethany. It's been 2,000 years since the Lord was here before. And that is why many, many people wonder, think, perhaps, his coming is closer now than it has ever been before. 2,000 years. Lazarus is sick. And his sister's prayers are for Jesus to come. The Bible tells us that Lazarus actually died. The disciples didn't understand that in their ignorance when the Lord Jesus said, Lazarus is sleeping. He said, it's good that he's sleeping. He must be resting. They didn't understand. There was an ignorance that was all pervading their minds. Jesus tells them, no, Lazarus is actually dead. He has passed away. His sisters wanted him to come. And he tarried. He didn't come right away. The story of in John chapter 11, we read, I couldn't come because there was something for the glory of God that had to be revealed. Jesus, come. Lazarus is sick. Today's church is to be crying out, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And is that our cry? Is that our passion? Is that our focus? When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him, will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. I've been reading through the epistles that Paul writes, Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians, just this weekend. He talks about his prayer life, his fasting life, and the hours he spent in this word called watchings. Watchings. I have a feeling it was the watch and the careful eye of the church, but also the watch for the Lord's return. On his mind, imminent, could be today. Come, Lord Jesus. What are you hoping for? What are you looking for? What are you waiting for? What is the next thing that's going to bring joy into your life? Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in Christ and his return and our union to him one day. Nothing like the death of a saint, and our brother Tim is now absent from this body, but he is present with the Lord, brings all this to focus for a young sister like Mickey and for all of us who've been close to that situation. A dear brother got sick so quickly. Where was Jesus? Where was his answer? How could he let him pass away? He's sleeping, the Lord says, concerning Lazarus. And I will come for him. The Lord Jesus finally shows up at Bethany. Martha comes to meet him first of all. Lord, if you had been here, your timing wasn't quite right, Lord. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Why haven't you come sooner, Lord? The desire for the Lord's presence. The understanding that with the Lord's presence, all is right. Martha, your brother will rise again, the Lord says. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? As if she wasn't engaged, as if she wasn't caught up in the moment, she replies to the Lord, I know he will raise again, be risen again at the last day, at the resurrection, the great resurrection. And she leaves to go get Mary. And there's no comment there about Martha's grief. There's no comment there about the Lord's feeling in the matter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it is very interesting that when the Lord begins to discuss the second coming of Christ, he is concerned about believers who are ignorant, about those whom they've loved, who have passed away. I don't want you to be ignorant about your loved ones who have fallen asleep. As if the Lord senses how hard it is to deal with that. And if you're here today and you know of someone whom you loved who have passed away, and I think every one of us here in this room has gone through that experience, see the tenderness of the Lord as he brings this up. I haven't forgotten them, and I will bring them back to you when I myself descend from heaven with the shout. When Mary comes, we read that Mary is called secretly. She leaves, but others see that she is gone. And why do they see that she is gone? Because unlike Martha, she is overwhelmed with the grief. Death has come. My brother is gone, and I will never see or talk with him again. And I miss him, and I don't know how this can ever be made right. And why didn't he come? The Lord never condemns them for those feelings, for those thoughts. Mary comes to the Lord Jesus, and we read Not this about Martha, but we read this about Mary, that she casts herself down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She says the same things that Martha says. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But the emphasis in that moment there. The Jews followed her. Why? Because of her grief. Because of her sorrow. Because of the hopelessness that she was obviously living through. And our Lord enters into the whole thing. She doesn't even respond to that question. Martha, he did, but not with Mary. She sees her grief, and he too is overwhelmed. The God of life, the God who swallows death up in victory. The God who could touch this planet and make the virus go away, doesn't, but understands it. Where have you laid him, he says. The Jews who were listening and watching said, oh, how he loved him. And he's brought to the graveside where Lazarus is. And we read the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus. Jesus. When? Does Jesus care? Does Jesus understand? Brothers and sisters, I don't want my people, the Lord is saying, I don't want them to be ignorant in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I don't want them to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. They're asleep. And just as I brought Lazarus back, I will wake them up as well. I don't want you to miss that. It isn't the end. I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, they are with me. They're with me. Their bodies are asleep, but their spirits are with me. And I haven't lost any of them. Like the great shepherd, none of them will be lost. They are safe with me. My brothers and sisters, my dear daughter Mickey, he would say, he is with me. And not only are they with me, but I will, verse 14, I will bring them back to you. Isn't that nice of the Lord here in this great, great moment of the second coming of Christ? And how many hymns did we just sing about how he's coming with his angels and all the pomp and all the glory? But here in 1 Thessalonians, the first thing he wants his brothers and his people to understand is, when I come back, the loved ones whom you've missed are coming too. I am bringing them with me. I don't want my people ignorant, he says in verse 16. I myself will come. I am not sending an angel, the archangel Gabriel. I am not sending a great prophet. I am not sending some bishop. I myself will come. And I will, he says here in this passage, I will descend. How would it be that he would make that trip again, that first time he descended to the stable in Bethlehem that led him to the blows and the spittings of sinners, the scourging, the shame, and the pain of Calvary, that led him to the humiliation of the cross, that led him to that great place of sacrifice where he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness in him, that brought him to the great altar where the fire of God's wrath fell upon him. He descended to the depths of that great, great moment where you and I could be saved. He descended and, Philippians says, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I will be willing to descend a second time for you, for me, and your loved ones will be with you. I don't want you to be ignorant. Verse 16 of this chapter says, you are going to know it that I'm coming. It's not going to be. It'll be a secret for everybody else. Remember it said about Mary? She was called in secret. Now others knew to notice that she wasn't there, but she knew that she had been called. You're going to know it, he says. You're going to know it when I come. I'm going to descend from heaven with a shout. Not in the dark for you, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the great trumpet of God. No one's going to miss this. No one is going to miss this. Verse 16, we read about this second coming event, that he is coming with his greatest gift. He's coming with life, with new life, with abundant life, with resurrection life. Many of us have been by the grave of a loved one, seen them buried in the coffin. That body will live again. Our Lord doesn't just grant us life at birth, but can grant us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I have come, and he said, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But Lord, I already have life. No, you only have that natural life. You don't know what life really is until you have me. The Lord stands at the door himself. He stands at the door and he knocks. He knocks to your soul, and if anyone hears his voice and opens the door, Jesus Christ comes in. And when Jesus Christ comes in, you get that life. That life that you can have more abundantly. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he says, you can have this. Do you believe it? Do you trust me? When we yield our lives to the Lord Jesus, he enters in and we become a new creation. All things, old things are passed away. All things become new. Only the Lord Jesus can take the inside of your heart that is under the control of the world, one enemy, the flesh, your sinful temptations that want to steer you away, and his satanic majesty, the devil. You are trapped and oppressed by all of those. Only the Lord Jesus, through the power of his Holy Spirit, can deliver you and give you new life. And when he comes, that life is going to be manifest all over the planet as those who had been buried and dead are brought back to life. You think about the seed that's planted and it becomes this majestic tree. We've lost the awe of that because it happens so slowly. And yet, in this moment, in this twinkling of an eye, he comes with this life. And all of those who were asleep are brought back to life. All of those in Christ who were saved are resurrected. And in verse 17, he says, I will reunite you and gather you all, and you will be mine forever. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Because I understand the sorrow. Because I understand the grief. Because I was there when Mary wept. And I can make that well. And I can make that whole. I will make all things new. Together with them in the air, so shall we. Now that we is not just us, but it's all of us together. We shall meet the Lord. We shall meet the Lord and forever be with the Lord. As we look at the second coming of Christ, we're going to see things about the day of the Lord. We're going to see things about the wrath of the Lamb. We're going to see things about the times of Jacob's trouble. All of these things are designed to encourage the Lord's people. Interesting where the Lord starts with the Apostle Paul here. He starts with our loved ones who have already passed away. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, we read, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Behold, God himself will be with them and will be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." It's not going to be me. It's not going to be Charlene wiping away tears. It's not going to be all these great. It's himself healing this hard moment that each of us have to go through, the sadness of a loved one passing away. He wipes away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. The former things are passed away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18 says, you should find comfort in these words. We need comfort. We're going to get back to Kings. Please, don't worry. I haven't forgotten about Kings. Right now, the Lord's people need comfort and encouragement. We're going to need to deviate a little bit and get this. We're going to find it in many things. Brother Ron bringing us into the teachings of how the Lord gets us through sufferings in Romans and 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Praise the Lord for that. The resurrection of Christ. Praise the Lord for that. The second coming. Second coming. And over the next few times together, we want to take a look at the timing of that coming. We want to take a look at the great lie that this world will believe at the time of that coming. We want to take a look at Jacob's troubles, the wrath of the Lamb. Finally, we want to take a look at Philadelphia and Laodicea. Which one are we? Closing, there's a hymn that I try to sing. Favorite of our brother Chuck Davis, who is also with the Lord right now. One day we will see him soon. It's called "The King is Coming." It goes like this. The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In the courtrooms, no debate. Work on earth is now suspended as the King comes through the gate. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grandstands all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled and starts to sing "Amazing Grace." For the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Praise God, He's coming for me. It's time to wake up, brothers and sisters in Christ. His coming is certainly sure and soon. We don't want to be surprised. We want to be ready, found doing His work, especially now. What an opportunity for the Church of Christ in this time of crisis to go out with its gospel. Your loved ones and your friends have never been more open to wanting to understand who the Lord is. The lie out there is so oppressive. You have the truth. You have the truth. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and the work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. May the Lord use these words to stir your heart as He has to stir mine heart to be more faithful to Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You that You are coming again and that You tell us this in the Scriptures. We thank You, Lord, that for the world it will be something that surprises, but for us as believers, it'll be something that we are sure and certain of, that we will know, that there will be a shout, there will be the voice of the archangel, there will be the trumpet of God, there will be the obvious moment when we are caught up together to meet our loved ones whom we miss so in the air, and then to meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to be face to face with Him. We think, Lord, of the tears that our sister Mickey has shed, that many of us have shed. We know, Lord, that each one of those tears is of such importance to You, collected in these mysterious bottles in the book of the Revelation, the tears of the saints, precious in the eyes of the Lord, precious are the death of His saints. One day our Lord will wipe away all of those tears and bring us to that place where death is swallowed up in victory and the sting is gone. Lord, as we seek to study this topic now, we pray You'd help us to enter into it the way Christ would have us enter into it, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray that You would bless our brother next week as he seeks to bring us to this great thought about the day of the Lord. Guide him, Lord, and use his ministry. We pray that if anything good has happened this morning, that all of us might be careful to give Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the honor and glory. We do pray for Mickey and for the Lassert family now, and for Tim. And we do pray, Lord, that You would just bless and comfort and make sure, Lord, that we all are looking for You, looking to You. In Jesus' name we pray.